Well, good evening and welcome to our celebration of life on Tuesday night. It's so good to be with you tonight. I'm coming from a very special place. We got invited tonight to do something a little bit different. In between this call and a team call we have for a sales team, we've been invited to address the leadership team of a master distributor of $1.5 million company. Very exciting opportunity tonight. I'm sitting in his office at his desk delivering this session for you tonight. So it's so good to be with you and be in a place that's so energized as we talk about this very sacred subject. We welcome all who are here tonight, our guests that have been invited for this particular session. Each Tuesday night, we take on one of the six qualities of an intentional creator. We start with connecting with people, and we learn the seven principles of intrinsic validation, how to step into someone's world, how to create a safe place and take down their walls of resistance, how to connect. We also discover that our life experiences, even the most painful ones, are often the greatest assets that we have in helping us better understand another person. That's a great thing to discover because so many of us have had painful moments and we don't know how to carry them. We don't know what to do with them. We've been dragging them around in a sack of discouragement and frustration. Sometimes we're even victims, just, and all of a sudden we discover that there's a purpose for that suffering. And we finally find joy in our journey and healing in our souls when we take those experiences, own them, and use them to more effectively connect with another person. I would encourage you to spend time with that particular section because everything else is dependent on this. Og calls this the greatest secret of success in all ventures. He says we can have all the knowledge and skills of the world, but if we don't have this one, we will fail. So we'll want to master this particular quality. Second of all, one of the great challenges that we face in society today, and that is unmet expectations. Life is just not turning out the way we had envisioned it. So quality number two is about using our mind constructively instead of destructively, instead of engaging in fantasy and then ultimately catastrophe. We share five constructive ways to use your mind. My promise to you is very simple. In a moment where you want to drift into that fantasy and escape, or you want to worry or have fear, if in that moment you can say, not going there today, and you choose, consciously choose, one of those five constructive ways of using your mind, you'll soon be back grounded and in intentional creation. And you'll receive an inspired idea or an impression. Act on it. Act on it. It will ignite your passion, and then you take action, passion-driven action. And that takes us to quality number three, completing tasks. This is living in the now, in passion-driven action, where we know why we're doing what we're doing in each moment of the day. We're not escaping to some glorious place in the Caribbean and wasting time fantasizing about what it's going to be like when we're rich. We're in the business of creating wealth in the moment, in the millimeters of success. This is where it actually happens. These are the pivotal moments where we take a mental creation and we turn it into a tangible reality. Here we have that. A mental creation into a tangible reality. Two very different stages of creation. Now, having learned those three and implementing them, we get into this area of needing to be right and resisting rules and, you know, I want to fire my boss. And then the reality is that to succeed, we must become our own boss. It's called being authentic. Enthosectic, acting on our own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reasons. Well, we let go of that resistance and we surrender. We stop fighting the process. We learn the rules, the new rules. Anybody thought that? Anybody woken up recently and said, man, it's like the rules have changed. I'm writing an article about it. I was up early this morning working on this. It's going to be in our newsletter before the week's out. The rules have changed. They have. If you feel like they have, just know they have. The rules have changed. The question is, do you know the new rules? And one of those rules is letting go of this resistance and resentment and surrendering to the process. We have been able to fund it with credit cards, with home equity lines, because real estate kept going up in value. And all of a sudden, all of that stripped away from us. and we're left swimming naked, so to speak. I have a good friend, Bob Snyder, who once said, when the water levels drop, you find out who's swimming naked. Yeah, some of us have gone, wow, whew, this is embarrassing. Until we find out that we were funding our fantasies with credit. And in our minds, we believed that we were millionaires. We weren't there yet. This is just a hiccup. This is a bridge to get there. No, it was living fantastically. It was living in fantasy funded by debt. And it's been a really interesting wake-up call for many. So surrendering to the real laws of abundance, then we go into finding joy in the journey. How can we be grateful? We talked about this last week. How can we be grateful and want more? That's an interesting dilemma. We answered that question last week. What about joy and sorrow? What about managing our time? What about when hard times come that are so painful we can hardly stand up? Where do we find our meaning and purpose in life? That's a really important one, so that we can find joy in the journey, because this is a journey. It's not something we win. It's not something we seek to receive. It's a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. And that brings us to number 6, self-esteem. And that's where we are tonight. I'm sitting here staring at my beautiful bride, Ramona. She's taking notes for you, so tomorrow when this call is put up, you'll have her notes to support this experience. You'll be able to enjoy those. Jeff Watson is also sitting here, a dear friend, who's joining for the conference call and then later for the speech that we'll be giving here at this wonderful company. Welcome, Jeff, and it's good to have you here in this room with me. And all of you there at home, because we're going to take on what could be the single, well, this is where we live. I just want you to pull up your chair. Can you do that? Just kind of come in a little tight. Just come in with me. Let's huddle up for a moment. Because we want to talk about this one at a very deep and profound level. This one, wow, this one just eats us alive. Because this is the one we wake up to. This isn't necessarily the one who's jumping up and down, you know, at a sales meeting and all excited about life. This is the one we meet when we're by ourselves. This is a deeply personal quality. You know, in quality one, we say it's not about us. We're focusing on serving others. And the more healthy our self-esteem is, the more capable we are of fully showing up in the service of another. However, most of us, through a lifetime, have taken a few dings. And somewhere in our self-esteem, we're going to find some challenges. Well, tonight, we're going to dive into this piece. And I'm going to do all that I can to bring to you some insights and some principles and practices and techniques to assist you in understanding why things might be happening the way they are, and how you can begin to heal this process. It won't happen tonight, but it'll start tonight. The question we want to ask is, who are we? Who are we? Oh, I am. I am. This is the great news. I am. I am the person who's on their best behavior. I am the person who's kind and gentle and thoughtful. I am the one who's generous. I'm the one who's comfortable in my own skin. Have you ever seen this person? Have you met this person? I am not the one I am when I might go home tired, frustrated, let my hair down, and allow my thought processes to take over. This is a very interesting discovery. I am the magnificent one. I am the talented one, the gifted one. Not so I have ego, but so I don't have to think about me anymore. I, and everything I've been given, all the gifts I've got, can show up to serve another person fully capable of doing so. Without dialogue going on, you're not worthy, or you're not capable, you don't have enough education or enough money or nice enough suit, or you know, all those thought processes can just be so crippling. That's not who I am. Those are just sabotaging thought processes. And they have wanted to sabotage you. Now, there are reasons why those are there, and we'll discuss those in a moment. Just know, that often we identify with those thoughts. I'm timid, I'm shy. No, you're not. You're only timid when you're listening to the thought process. You're only shy, you're only fearful, you're only in doubt when you're listening to and identifying with those thought processes. We know this from quality number three when we talk about breaking out of procrastination. That when we finally get to the big ugly and we can't put it off for another minute and we finally jump in and do that thing we've been procrastinating, we always go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why'd I wait so long? Shutting off this noise, our genius could finally show up. We've been surprised for a lifetime every time it's happened. How many of us in school did a term paper at the last minute and thought, boy, if that professor knew or that teacher knew, they would have given me an F. No. You just got to see what you're capable of, unplugged without all those thought processes, unfettered by the doubt and fear, totally engaged. Look how quickly you created something magnificent. Some people spent the whole term trying to put together a paper equal to yours. You did it in hardly any time at all. What a thing to discover. That's you. And interestingly enough, we're often surprised when we meet ourselves. That's the real self. Now, for some, a variety of reasons, which we'll talk about again in a moment, we haven't embraced that person. But we're going to start the journey tonight of being that person. I want you to feel what it's like when you're on your best behavior, awake and conscious and noticing others. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good? And you look at those thought processes down there and you say, I want to get rid of those. And then you feel like, gosh, am I going to lose my identity? What's going to happen to me? A log says you're going to wake with a new vigor and your enthusiasm is going to rise and you're going to wake up in the morning with a new desire that will overcome every fear you once knew at sunrise and you'll be happier than you ever believed possible in this world of strife and sorrow. Would that be worth letting go of those thought processes? I just know as we go into this, our greatest barrier, and I don't want to make light of this, but I want us to smile because it's not funny, but we need to step back and smile. And that is, okay, Dave, if I'm up here and I'm okay, and I really am okay in spite of what's gone on in my life in the past, currently going on in my life, or firestorms outside of my life, if I'm okay, how will people know how much I've suffered? How will they know how hard this is? How will they know the sacrifices I've been making all these years? Can you feel the energy? Sad truth is this. Nobody cares. You can exhaust your life trying to find somebody who will feel sorry for you. But the victor discovers the secret. The one who wins is the one who focuses on the pain another person is experiencing. They show up okay in spite of. Now that's difficult to do with some of these causes of self-esteem. So let's go into those. Let's explore what creates these challenges. It makes it hard to let go. Makes it hard to be okay. Makes it hard to stay here. I probably shared this with you before. I will again with Ramona sitting right here. I still remember flying into Miami. We lost our luggage. It took a while to get it all put together. The flight was delayed in Atlanta. It's 1:30 in the morning. I've got a 7:30 conference call that I'm speaking on the stage right after that for 2 hours. I can't get my computer to work with the internet in the hotel. And you can imagine where I am. Yes, that's where I was. And Ramona's over laying on the bed. She's lying there with her hands behind her head, just relaxing. And I caught it. And I turned to her and I said, sweetheart, what would your life be like if I showed up different in these situations? She can do it for us right now, Jeff, and you can see it. A little smile and a raising of an eyebrow, like, that would really be cool. So let's start by understanding what causes this, But let's make our first goal tonight to show up for those we love the most on our best behavior. Let us not be the cause of additional burdens for them. Everybody's caring enough without us putting some of ours on them, too. Let us be conscious of theirs. It's more joyful. It's more fun. It's more fulfilling. So let's go into the causes of self-esteem. Now, this is a theme we have just about beat to death, this first one. It is the single greatest cause of challenges in our self-esteem come from unmet expectations. Now, we used to talk about this in terms of just fantasy and then reality showing up differently. It's become far more complex in recent months. Even those who don't fantasize are struggling from unmet expectations, because intentional creators, those who go into the future and see clearly and decide what needs to be done this month, this year, this day, all those pieces, and are in intentional creation, are facing some obstacles, makes it much harder than it used to be. Now, the tenacious can continue to do it, but not without some frustration. I've read some assessments recently from some absolute natural intentional creators, and the same measurements are starting to show up with those who fantasize, and then life shows up differently. It's suggesting that it's so important that we learn those five constructive ways of thinking, and that we don't hold, I shudder every time I say this, we don't hold our businesses hostage to our lifestyles. I was talking with a gentleman by the name of Johnny Dessauer last night. Some of you may know Johnny. He's a very successful real estate investor in Chicago, and he said, you know, we need to teach people the joy of being a thousandaire instead of a millionaire. Justin Yates says, you know, $10,000 a month is the old $100,000 a month. Sitting with the leadership of a Warren Buffett company recently, they said, break even is the new profit margin. The rules have changed. And we're still trying to cling on to an old way, and it's just choking so many people. So we may have to make some changes in the way in which we see the future and even intentionally create. But just know that absolutely for sure, if we engage in fantasy, fantasy simply defined is I escape the present. I don't like where I am, so I go into the future when I'm rich or my debts are paid off or my kids are grown or everybody's happy, and what it'll be like then. It's in going to the time and then spending time beyond that moment. We haven't even created the moment, but now we want to spend time beyond the moment. That's fantasy. And when we go there, with the thought process that 97% of you have, just look at your assessment report on the right-hand side. It's goal-oriented, about halfway down. That's one of the many. If those thought processes have got a lot of pressure and we're very vivid visualizers, and most of us are, we're at a high risk that if we go into fantasy, we'll do so with such vividness. I've said this 100 times. I just wanted to really settle tonight, so you can see the seriousness of this. The mind has the same brain chemistry, the brain circuitry, everything firing as if you were actually there. It is now the mind's opinion that this has happened. It's a done deal. Has it happened yet? Yes, in the mind. And we hear adults say, but why can't I have it? Why can't I touch it? I mean, David, it's just so real. Yes, it's so real. So real that we've set ourselves up for a really disastrous set of circumstances. What happens is that we wake up the next day and life is different. And the mind just doesn't get it. It doesn't get it. It believes this, but it's seeing this. It's really confusing. And so the body goes into a defense mechanism to protect that expectation. and we get that cortisol surge and those fear dendrites, that little army that goes up and starts turning off light switches in our brain so that all the power for that house, if you will, can be centralized in the storage room of fight and flight. And we're paralyzed emotionally. And then we do something that is so profound and so pervasive and so devastating. We start to question us. Look at your assessment. Three measurements that get hit the hardest. It used to be called integrus, the first measurement on the right. We call it now whole and complete because that's what integrus means. It's whole and complete. And people thought, well, integrus meant integrity, you know, like honesty. This is whole and complete. It's a little different view. So we just changed it to whole and complete. So that's the first one. Then four measurements down, confident. And the fifth measurement down, valiant. Whole and complete is we start to question our own worth, our intrinsic value, our pricelessness, our uniqueness. That which we do nothing for that. We are that. But we start to question our value as a human being, our worthiness. It's working for everybody else. Why is it not working with me? What is wrong with me? Am I not worthy? And then we hear those pundits say, just hold your hands to the universe and say, I'm worthy, send me my peace. And that doesn't work. We spend money on this and spend money on that. We get increasingly broken and angry. And we keep saying, what's wrong with me? It's working for everyone else. And the answer is, it is not working for everyone else. Everyone looks like it's working for everyone else. And when they see you, they think it's working for you too. Everybody got that? You look at them and you say, it's working for them. Why not for me? They're looking at you and say, it's working for them, but not for me. Can you see this dilemma? We're about ready to break through this one. We're about ready to get to a point in society where we finally shatter this myth, because we won't be able to hold that facade together much longer. But that's the truth. It is not working. And the worst thing we can say, and some of you have said this, maybe God does not love me. And we intrinsically devalue ourselves. We destroy our worth. All because of an expectation that's been unmet. Life is not showing up. That's grateful. The second measurement down, some of you check that. So goal-oriented creates the expectation. Grateful is a measurement of how we're feeling about our life if it's not showing up. You know, by now I thought I would be blank. By now I thought it would be blank. Anybody want to fill in those blanks here in the room? By now I thought it would be easier. By now I thought I would be happier, more successful, richer, something. Yeah, that's the grateful measurement. And when that's having a challenge, then we start questioning our worth. It can be whole and complete. That's one place it can get hit. If you're not there, you want to go down the fourth measurement, take a look at confidence. If we're not questioning our worth, we're questioning our ability. If I only had more what? Money. If I only had more time. If I only had more resources. If I only had more education. If I only had more something I don't have, then this would be happening. It's because of my ability. Whole and complete, my worth. Integrus, the whole and complete, confident, my ability, and valiant. When that one starts to turn, maybe it's my belief system. You've heard me say this. The darkest of dark nights, I long to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. We start to question our own belief systems. Now, I want to be very sensitive, just parenthetically, if I may, for a moment. Because not everybody on the phone believes in a God. If we can accept the fact there's something out there in the universe, give it a name, whatever name you'd like to, we're going to be on the same page. I happen to call it God, and please don't be offended by my calling it that. There's just a power. So, are we questioning our belief systems? I need to change how I believe about my relationships, marriages. People do really crazy things when they're in this kind of space. They blow up lives, throwing everything off the shelf. Everything off the shelf. Because there's an unmet expectation. There must be something wrong with the belief system. They tragically discover later that it was just an unmet expectation, that's all. There's nothing wrong with their belief system. I found out that it wasn't my belief in God that was the problem. It was my cry. I wanted someone to rescue me. Just come rescue me. Save me from all of this. Well, it doesn't work that way. I changed my cry. We start acquiring ability equal to opportunities. We begin to learn how to open up opportunities. We learn how to be whole and complete so we can actually get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that we can act on and begin to validate the fact that we're known. Those are the three greatest challenges: worth, ability, and belief. We see this pattern played out over and over again. We were just out in the hallway a few moments ago in preparation for this training. We're going to do it at 8 o'clock. And we had everybody take an assessment. They all had their assessments out there. And hey, look at mine. I saw the same pattern over and over and over and over again. Isn't that interesting? This is an interesting one. This is one that is so pervasive. So just before you beat yourself up anymore on this one, go back to quality number two, and consciously, when you're tempted to escape, and I can understand why we'd want to, life is pretty tough. But when we're tempted to do that, not going there today, I'm going to engage in the next activity, I'm going to mentally rehearse it, get some instruction, ignite my passion, and go act on those impressions. I'm going to seek inspiration, act on those impressions. I'm going to explore and act on those. I'm going to goal set. I'm going to act on those steps. I'm going to know why I'm doing what I'm doing each day. That's the place to go to resolve this particular challenge. Now, that's the first cause. Let's talk about the second one. This second one is so tender. And there are those on this call tonight who maybe for the first time are going to take a look at this. I want to preface this comment by letting you know that there may be a need for therapeutic intervention. The second challenge that creates self-esteem issues, low self-esteem, is when the fragile underpinnings of trust, and they can be fragile, have been damaged. As a child, it might be an emotionally abusive situation. Could be a sexually abusive situation. It could be a relationship. It could be something that happened with a teacher. It could happen with classmates. It could have happened in relationships when we got older. Could have happened in a marriage, one that's failed or one that's currently happening. If you're in a marriage where there is emotional or sexual abuse, please, please get some help. Go to ecclesiastical authority like your pastor or your bishop or a father, go to a counselor, someone qualified to assist you in that area. This is a very, you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to do this alone. And you have every right to live in peace. If this has happened, there may be a need to process through it in the hands of a trained professional. As a coach, we begin to pick up the pieces when it's time to move forward. Because really, whether we go through therapy or coaching, there is a point in time when we must make the following decision. If we're going to heal from this, and healing can occur. I'm a living, breathing testament to that. Left in the hands of a pedophile from age 2 to 4. Not something I even want to think about. But I know that healing has taken place, and healing takes place when we take a look at that sack we've been dragging around, all that pain, all that frustration, all of that hurt, deep, deep hurt. When those underpinnings of trust are destroyed, there isn't anything more sacred or sensitive I can think of. When those happen, that pain, the day that we can finally, whether we're going through therapeutic processes or already in coaching, we reach that point where we say, I wonder if. We stop looking in at our pain, and we start looking outward at other people's. I wonder if. I wonder if anybody else has had this experience. It's no wonder that those who have been through this process often are in healing arts, because they have an ability to serve, a special ability, uniquely prepared. Life experiences that have created an empathy that allows them to hear things other people miss, to ask questions other people would not know to ask. It's a wonderful gift because this is so pervasive. When we get together in couples retreats and women's retreats and we hear the stories, they're just heartbreaking. This is widespread. It doesn't give us a lot of peace to know we're not alone. But what gives us peace is when we serve another person who's in pain and we assist them. They finally feel understood. Oh, finally, someone knows what I've gone through. That moment is so precious. To be a part of it, what a gift to give another human being, and almost only given by someone who's been through it. That's the moment of healing. That's where we start, and next week we'll go back to intrinsic validation, connecting with people. Can we? And if you've been through that, ask yourself this question tonight. Can I? Am I ready? Am I finally ready to take that which I've been dragging in my sack, put it in my heart, and show up in the service of others? So if you make that decision tonight, or in the next few days as you prepare for next week, if you can make that decision, you are about to find purpose in your suffering. Now, I don't think the universe has us go through the suffering so we can do this. The fact is, it happened. We can't take it back. We know what pain feels like. However, we can use it to serve another person more effectively. And when we make that decision, there is purpose. There's finally a purpose. And we start to enjoy our journey more thoroughly, and our healing starts to begin. There's much healing in our soul. Fragile underpinnings is not just healing a wound on your skin. It's a soul thing. It's healing of a soul. And when your soul starts to heal, that is such a glorious time, because you start to feel whole and complete. Real and genuine. If you're not ready to make that decision, you may want to seek some therapeutic assistance, if this is the case. If you've had this experience, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, that you need to process through. It's time. So those are the first two. Unmet expectations, damage to those fragile underpinnings of trust. There's a third one. This is actually more common. And there are varying degrees of this. There are serious degrees and there are minor degrees. This is when, if you can imagine on your left hand, this is how you show up in public. How I show up in public. My right hand is what I think and do secretly. Secretly. Are there inconsistencies? Are there things we do in secret that we would never want the world to know? Are we duplicitous, double-minded? Because being double-minded, one person here and a different person there, we create a conflict in our self-esteem because we don't know who we are. Who are we? Are we this one? Are we that one? And we really don't know. Now, this can be anywhere from a serious addiction. Bless the heart of the person who's suffering from alcohol, or suffering from drugs, or eating disorders. Serious addictions. Bless the rest of us. We just have inconsistencies. We do our very best when we're in public, and we just don't have the energy to fight those thought processes when we're in private and secret. And we just let our hair down, and we say things and do things that if our clients and friends and associates witnessed, they would be so shocked. They would be so disillusioned, so disappointed. But the reality is, that is the behavior. We started here tonight. Now let's drive the nail home. First task tonight is to show up in those secret and private places of our life, consistent with the person we are in public. Congruent. The only thing you're going to give up is guilt and shame, anger and frustration and overwhelm, bitterness. I don't know any one of those we'd want to hang on to. We're not faking it. We're actually being conscious enough to think about another human being and not burdening them with our challenges. Isn't that an interesting idea? We're not faking. We're not acting. Well, can't I be real around my spouse or my companion? Well, what's real? Your thought processes that'll drive them crazy? Or is it when you're conscious and awake and alert? Am I hitting a nerve with anyone? Man, how do I do this? Well, you might not be able to do it all the time, but the more often you do it, the more joyful it will become. Everybody got that? The more often we do it, the more joyful it will become. And when you start to experience the joy, you'll want to be here more frequently. Now, I know that there are times when I'm just flat out exhausted. Anybody else have a really tight schedule? Early morning, late night, 7 days a week, go, 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 go. There will be times when we just need to get away from and get some rest. Sharpen the saw. Because you can't beat something down and expect those thought processes not to show up. They just will. So to heal this self-esteem, we first embrace our public person. This isn't an act. You can't act consciousness. You don't act kindness. If you can be kind, you are kind. If you can be conscious, you are conscious. It's just that you're putting effort into it. That's what we're doing. We're not acting. We're just putting effort into it. And with that effort, we create magnificent things in public. Imagine being that person in private. So there isn't a duplicity, a double-mindedness about our existence. From just the simple things like anger and frustration, all the way to the differences when we're hiding difficult and deep addictions. Could be either way. Well, there are the three major causes of self-esteem challenges. Unmet expectations. We learn to control our mind. Underpinnings. We learn to use our experiences in the service of another. Inconsistencies between our public and secret and private selves. And we consciously choose to show up in public and in private and in secret, being the same person, conscious and alert. And when we don't have the energy to fight it, we go get some rest. Simple as that. And while we're going through this process, we began to identify specific thought processes that we're going to want to shift. The beautiful thing about being a human being is that the one thing that separates us from all other living creatures is the ability to step back. To step back and reflect on this thinking and choose to change. I've quoted this many times. I just love this from Og. I have surrendered. I, the public, good person, I have surrendered my free will, my right to choose to be this person when I'm in private. I've surrendered my free will to these years of accumulated habits and the past deeds of my life when I'm in secret and in private. I've already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Success or failure is dependent on this particular issue, because this is who shows up. How are we showing up? When we're just with us and we're facing a stack of leads to call, or an email that needs to be sent out, or a challenge that we're facing. Who's showing up? Doubt, fear, frustration, overwhelm? Is that who's showing up? Because if it is, we will be sabotaged. Is it our very best self sitting at that desk, committed, awake, alert, conscious? Who's showing up? Because the objective, when everything is said and done, the objective, as Dr. Hartman quotes, is to simply be real, which means we're focused on relationships, stepping into other people's worlds and taking down their walls of resistance and creating connection, to be real, to be genuine, our genius. It's embracing our genius. It's not hiding it. It's not egotistical to embrace your genius in the service of another person. In fact, if we want more, we have to use fully what we've been given. We can't ask the universe for more ability if we're not using what we've got. To be real, genuine, which means we're embracing all that we are, and authentic. Anthosectic, acting on our own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason. I want to. I get to. I choose to. Now, we've talked about this before. How many of you made those 3x5 cards where you wrote, I, in quotation marks, I want to. I get to. I choose to. I. The public me, the conscious me, the good me, the dedicated me, I will command, and I will obey my own command. I will not surrender my free will to those years of accumulated habits. I will not do that. I will command, and I will obey my own command. That's being authentic. It's making that choice yourself. No one else imposing it on you. No have to, should, must. No fear of consequences if you don't. That decision internally. Isn't that exciting to think about that? And if you make those 3x5 cards, stick one on your nightstand. Stick one on the refrigerator, on your computer, on the dashboard of your car, the mirror in your bathroom. Now imagine this. Here's a way to heal self-esteem. You want to have a fun one? You wake up in the morning, and the very first thing you do is pick that card up off the nightstand. Just imagine you're lying in bed looking at this card and you're getting ready to read it. You tell me who's showing up. You, conscious, awake, and alert, or these sabotaging thought processes? Just listen to yourself read it. I want to. I get to. I choose to. Like heck. I am tired. I didn't sleep well. This is another day. I got a million things to do. I don't know if I got the energy. I want to. I get to. This is a stupid. Who told me to do this? This is ridiculous. Can you hear it? Who's in charge? Who is in charge in this moment? Am I in charge? Or have I surrendered my free will to these habits of have to and should and must and fear of consequences and frustration? Who have I surrendered it to? Am I in charge? You keep reading. I want to. I get to. I choose to. I will command and I will obey my own command. You keep saying it until all of a sudden you feel the shift of you taking charge. I want to. Can you feel it? I get to. I choose to. I will command and I will obey my own command. I'm going to have the best day of my life, whether you want to or not, speaking to those sabotaging thought processes. You will not sink my day. It's not going to happen today. Not on my watch. I am in charge. I want to do the right thing for the right reason. I want to be kind. I want to be thoughtful. I want to be motivated. I want to be inspiring. I will command, and I will obey my own command. Can you feel it? I can promise you that tomorrow morning, if you do this, you will have this battle. You'll have it. And you'll get to hear who's been running your life, and you'll know exactly why, in many parts, not all, but in many parts, self-esteem has had some challenges. Because you, the real you, has been surrendering your will to these habits of thinking. Leaders don't surrender. They just don't do it. And now you get to have that experience tomorrow morning so that you don't either. This is a fun little exercise. Can you feel it? Oh, I can't wait to hear from some of you. Send me some emails and tell me what happens when you face that card, the conversation you had with yourself, and waking up the giant inside of you, feeling it. This isn't positive mental attitude. Positive mental attitude is putting paint. Pete Demarest used to say this. He said, it's like putting paint on a rotten fence post. The fence post is nonetheless rotten, and that's true. This is about being in charge of your life and moving forward. Okay. So we want to be real and genuine and authentic. Now we've got just a couple of the things I want to share with you tonight. One of the challenges that we run into are overcompensations. When we are not feeling whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic, we start to take on other behaviors. Some people call it ego. We can call it that if you want to. What it is we start to impress. And we try to pretend. And then we're feeling shame and we're feeling fear. Dr. Hartman said, the objective is to be real, genuine, authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. He said, this is the highest level of maturity. He also said it's the hardest thing to do in our mortal existence, but it's the highest level of maturity. In other words, being whole and complete is the definition of being mature. I used to think that age and maturity had something in common. It doesn't. Maturity is directly related to being whole and complete. I've met 16-year-olds who are whole and complete, very mature. I've met 65-year-olds who are fifth graders because they're playing all these games, all this dialogue going on inside their heads, still trying to prove their worth to their father, for an example. It's time for us to live differently. Let's think about impress. See if you can catch the language. I've struggled with this one. Anybody else struggled with this one? Especially with what's going on in the economy. Jeff, here you're driving a Hummer. I'm driving a Range Rover. And I'm going, you know, it's going to be sold. It's inevitable. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it just to make sure I can. Too much money tied up in a vehicle like that. Why do I drive it? I know why I bought it, because it reminded me of excellence. Why am I unwilling to sell it? Now there's an interesting question. Ramon and I were talking about this the other night. I had this delightful conversation with Johnny D, who is teaching now simplicity, simple wealth. He's downsizing everything in his life. You know, when your house has got a lot of equity, and it's great when the equity starts to get gobbled up and you're looking at a mortgage, because we still have a little mortgage on our house. Well, that little mortgage is a big mortgage. And we just paid it yesterday, 15th. It's due on the 15th of each month. And Ramon and I were talking about last night, do we really want this house enough to pay that? Interestingly, in our neighborhood, when a house goes up for sale, it becomes the talk of the gossip centers. Oh, what's going on in their life? They must be having challenges. And whoa, whoa. It's just the funniest thing. I've shared this with you before. That's impress. We're trying to impress people. Is that why we keep what we have? Is that why we have all not decided to downsize? Is that why we're concerned about how people will perceive us? Well, are we okay with us? Or are we our houses and our cars? Are we our stuff? Pretend. That's when we do stuff and we don't really have it. And we're trying to act like we do. We're trying to make more out of a small thing. Oh, this is an interesting one. any of us pretending to be wiser than we are? I had an interesting conversation. I was doing an assessment with the wife of a very big business guy. Millions of dollars in income. She says, Dave, so what kind of education do you have for doing this? I was at decision. Or the truth. I went to college to play football, didn't finish. How do you know all of this? I'm a lifelong student. I understand Cantor's transfinite calculus. I didn't have to go to school to do that. I learned it. I've observed human nature. I've done 6,000 hours of interviews, 25 hours in coaching. Those are very good things to know, are they not? We just, you know what she said when we got done? I didn't finish mine either. Isn't that interesting? I didn't finish mine either. Are we trying to impress anybody? Are we trying to pretend that something is what it isn't? I think of a senator this last year. He still got reelected. Who pretended that he was a Vietnam veteran. Not once, but two or three times. Isn't that interesting? Pretended. How can somebody do that? Well, we do when we're trying to impress and pretend. Shame. This is an interesting one. This is when something's happened in our life. And we've moved beyond feeling guilty for what we've done. And we've started to feel bad about who we are. That's shame. That's a really nasty place to be. This could be a great night to start letting go of those pieces. And we've done assessments and identified this in some assessments, and we find there might have been an abortion when someone's young. Some feel shame because they no longer can provide for their family the way they used to. Children can't be in private schools, or they no longer belong to the country club, for example. Shame because of a divorce in a society where divorce may not be accepted. All kinds of reasons why we can feel shame. Let us let go of that tonight. And last is fear. False evidence appearing real, as we've known. This isn't the fear we have when a rattlesnake's attacking us. This is the fear we have when chemicals got released in our body and we're paralyzed. The greatest cause of fear is an unmet expectation. That's when we feel fear. The world is caving in on us. We start to create the release of chemicals that make us feel fearful. If we let go of expectation, we most often let go of fear. We'll spend more time on fear in the future. I would like to spend an entire session on fear. Because I can remember the moment in time when I let it go. I'd like to spend some time with you in an evening talking about reaching that point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or it's just swamped you. Ruined relationships. It's just destroyed your life. And you finally let it go. And you replace it with love for others, faith, hope, charity. It's a wonderful place to live. Well, your assignment this week. One, become conscious of how conscious you are when you're in a public setting, when you're on your best behavior. And for the next week, bring that home. Ramona was reading to me as we were driving back from the cabin. Gilil Gibran's book, The Prophet. And the topic was on work. And I'll turn to her. The statement, sweetheart, was, work is... It's love made visible. Yeah, work is love made visible. Interesting conversation, he said. When you're sewing, you know, weaving something, weave it as though your beloved is going to wear it. If you're building something, build it as though your beloved is going to live in it. Show up this week for your beloved, whoever that is in your life. Could be your children, could be a companion, a spouse, family members, friends. This week, show up for them the way you show up for strangers. give your very best to those you love the most. That's assignment one. Assignment two, use your mind constructively, intentionally constructively, to get inspired ideas that can ignite your passion. Then act on those impressions. This is one of the great ways to heal self-esteem. Challenges in our lives. Fragile underpinnings of trust have been damaged, either through emotional or sexual or physical child abuse or later in relationships, all kinds of being fired from a job after working there for years, all kinds of things that can create this. And see if you can't this week say, I wonder if. I wonder if someone else is suffering. And see how reluctant these thought processes are to have you let go of the victimhood. How will anybody know how much I'm suffering? How will anybody know what I've been through? And just say to yourself, nobody cares. That's not a negative, it's a positive. Because if I choose to care, that's the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Oh, this is it. This is the secret. Is changing from dragging to focusing on another person. And I want you to read scroll number 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. I love the opening of this scroll. There's a flame that burns inside of me. Passed from generations uncounted. It's a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness. All the challenges I've been through, all the things I've learned, all the struggles I've had, my uniqueness, I'll proclaim that uniqueness to the world. May we begin that process this week and begin the process of healing our self-esteem. You'll notice that we don't heal it by focusing on us. We heal it by focusing on intentional creation, by focusing on others, by showing up for others. This is how self-esteem is healed. Maybe be wise to look here, because many have been looking inside. It's a big black hole. You can't go deep enough. You can't peel this onion far enough to find it. Self-esteem is healed by focusing on others. Well, thanks everybody. It's been great being with you tonight. Begin this process. Next week we're starting over with first quality. Quality number one, connecting with people, where we start to learn that our experiences in life really are our greatest gift and blessing. And the 7 principles of intrinsic validation, how to step into someone's world and make a connection. There has never been a time where these principles were more important for those who truly want to be abundant in their lives. This is the secret. We're going to talk about the greatest secret of success next week. And we'll go through this process one more time, and we'll get to self-esteem, and we'll just heal it a little bit more. And each time we cycle through, it's going to heal a little bit more and a little bit more. And one day you're going to wake up real and genuine and authentic, whole and complete, without the need to impress, pretend, feel ashamed or fear. You will be mature. Well, thanks everyone. Have a great week. Thank you.